that you would fill this place, that your spirit would be amongst us, that we would hear your word today, that you would let it touch our hearts, and we would go from here changed. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Who do you think Jesus was? My best friend in college, college roommate, he told me one time that in high school he attended a preach-off. For those of you who don't know what a preach-off is, it's where a number of churches come together in a special celebration, and the pastors take turns preaching. They each get 15 minutes. And they go at it. And they're like, we got to do this. So he attends. And the first preacher gets up. And he begins his sermon. He had studied and prepared for weeks because he knew how important this was. And so as he was going, he could see that the congregation was in it. You know, they were nodding. They were, you know, reading the Bible. They were saying amen and hallelujah. And he felt really good. He's like, the message is getting across. I'm saying it, and they're listening. And that was a powerful thing for him because he studied so hard. So the next guy gets up. He begins by saying, it's Friday, but Sunday's a coming. And the whole place erupts. Oh, hallelujah, amen. Jesus, and the crowd is really into it. And then he repeats it over and over for 10 minutes. That's all he does. He walks back and forth across the stage. It's a Friday, but Sunday's a coming.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And that's what this pastor does. And every time he does it, the crowd gets louder and louder. And this little lady on the front rows kept shouting, that's what my Bible says. That's what is going on in this preach-off. Now I want to tell you, yes, we are Sunday people. We are Easter people. We live after Easter. We know what happens. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. But today is Palm Sunday. It's not Easter yet. Now is a time for us to remember what's going on. Usually, as Christians, we focus on two things in the life of Jesus. We focus on the birth, which we celebrate at Christmas, and a miraculous birth it was. Jesus coming into our lives in such a wonderful way. It's worth celebrating, that's true. The second is thing that we focus on as Christians is we focus on his death. The beginning and the end. Often, sometimes we don't even pay much attention to what happened in between them. I mean, even when we share the good news, we share Jesus died for your sins. That's what we are, Easter people. That's what we do. So today, we're going to focus on what happened before Easter. The triumphal entry. So, Jesus, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to follow the story here a little bit of Jesus, what happened from the triumphal entry up until Good Friday. So Jesus wanted to go to Jerusalem. At this point, it was pretty obvious that people, some of the religious leaders and political leaders, weren't too happy with Jesus. And in fact, the disciples went to Jesus and said, "Ow, I don't think it's a good idea that we go to Jerusalem. It could cause problems. You could get arrested." But Jesus was determined. So Jesus went. And the disciples said, "All right, let's go with them." And so that's what happens here. Jesus, it says here, what he gives instructions to the disciples. It says, go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied to and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. Jesus gave instructions. The disciples listened to the instructions because they were like, all right, let's do this. We're used to Jesus giving strange instructions. So what changed? So let's do it now. So as they do this, it says here in verse 5 that the reason for this is, tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. We see here in a triumphal clicker's not working.
It's kind
of. Oh, I might have to turn it on. There we go. There it works. Apologize for that. Technology, it's wonderful. Here we see what the people are doing. Verse 9. The crowds, as they went ahead of him and followed, were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. The story goes is that as Jesus was coming into the city on the donkey, the people took their cloaks off and laid them on the ground. Others took palm branches off the trees, cut them, and laid them down so Jesus' donkey would not be able to touch the ground. That is their devotion and worship of this person, Jesus. Hosanna to the Son of David. Now that phrase is very interesting. Hosanna to the Son of David. It says here, the Son of David. The people understood Jesus in the line of David. What do we know about David? David was the king. So therefore, they are viewing Jesus as the returning king coming into Jerusalem to set up his reign on earth. This was a problem for the political leaders of the time. The Rome didn't like people taking over their property. And at this time, Israel was their property. And so who is this guy, Jesus, that the people think is a king? We see throughout Jesus' ministry that the things that he did upset the political leadership of that time. Look very directly at the way Jesus was executed. A crucifixion. Crucifixion was reserved only for enemies of the state. People against Rome. And so we see here that the people think Jesus is the king. That's what's going on at this point. The next part of verse 9 says, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus comes in the name of the Lord. They thought that Jesus was there to establish God's kingdom on earth. Back when David was king, it was God's kingdom. The Israelites were favored by God. That's what the people were thinking. Now, again, this is another problem. This time it's a problem for the religious leaders of the time. The religious leaders of the day didn't want that. They wanted to keep things the way they were. In fact, some of them actually wanted to go back to the time when they had more power, where the people looked to the priests and scribes for spiritual guidance and leadership. Some of their power had diminished, and Jesus was here taking even more of their power away from there. When the people say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. we see that they wanted the old ways, what they had power, when they had power and influence. But I want to tell you something. Those weren't good times that Jesus was living in. Poverty was everywhere. It was dominating society. Sickness was rampant. Greed and power, greed for power and influence was the way things were done. The religious people forgot about God. And most importantly, the people were forgotten by them. Jesus spends his ministry preaching against these things. These are not good times for the people. But Jesus came with something good. It's called the good news. Jesus came to bring a time of good news. He preached a change. We see that in his ministry. I think that one of the most important lessons that we need to learn comes from Jesus himself in one of the most amazing parts of Scripture that we have. It comes in Matthew chapter 5 with the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gives us the Beatitudes. It says, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor. It doesn't say blessed are the powerful, plus blessed are the rich. No. It also says that we are to be salt of the earth. We are to be a city on a hill. We are to be the light in the darkness. These are all different things than what's going on. It says we are to turn the other cheek. Think about that for one moment, what that means, turning the other cheek. That in itself is the most radical and new way of living that we can do. As a follower of Christ, I must change from my old ways to the good news ways that Jesus is bringing us. So as we continue on, we see in verse 11 more about who the people thought Jesus was. They asked, who is this? The crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. They thought he was a prophet from Galilee. Now, being from Galilee tells us a few things. He wasn't from Jerusalem. Now, we know he was born in Bethlehem, but they didn't know that at this time. It wasn't common knowledge. They just thought that he was from up north. He was from that city by that small lake up there. He had an accent. He had his followers talked a little different. Now, that raises the question, why was he here? The Old Testament is full of stories where prophets went from one place to another to preach a message from God. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing here. He was coming from where he was from to this place for a message from God. Amen. It would be good for us also to hear this message. Soon after he came into Jerusalem, he makes a scene. He goes and cleanses the temple. Starting verse 12. After Jesus enters the city, he goes to the temple, and what does he find? He finds something that should not be there. He found people taking advantage of the poor and the needy. Jesus then creates a scene. Now, this is important for us to understand now. Many of us have been in a tough situation where we're faced with a decision, something we have to do. Now, I want to tell you plainly, that if you think, okay, what would Jesus do in this situation? It's not out of the realm of possibilities that you can flip over the tables and chastise everybody in the room and walk out. What would Jesus do? Jesus did that. This was an event that upset the status quo. Now, we know that this was Passover, so the city was full of people from all over the world there to celebrate and worship. And this was a problem. So the religious leaders were upset because it disrupted their worship. When there's a commotion in the temple, that disrupts what's going on. The Roman officials were very upset also, because this kind of behavior incites rebellion. Gets the people in a frenzy. Oh, you hear about Jesus. He went into the temple and he threw all the tables over. You believe that? Yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do that. Let's go cause some mayhem. The Jewish political leaders would have been upset also because this is a money-making business for them. And Jesus says, no, we're not making money here in God's house. You've made it into, it says here, making it a den of robbers. That's a powerful statement. So after we see Jesus cleansing the temple, what does he do? He begins to heal. So, verse 14, the blind and lame came to him in the temple and he cured them. Throughout the Gospels, when Jesus heals someone, it's an event. We have some of the stories here of when Jesus heals the blind and the lame and the sick. It's an event. And usually is accompanied by a moment where Jesus is able to teach the people about what the kingdom of God is. So this healing attracts the attention of the priests and the scribes. The people again started shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Again, recognizing Jesus as a person of power, a kingly person. And they were upset. And it says here, they were indignant. And they confronted Jesus and asked him, do you hear what the people are saying? Jesus says, yes, I do. I do hear what the people are saying. And I understand what is going on here. The priests and scribes did not understand. But again, Jesus is trying to teach them, look who I am. Look. Next, Jesus begins to teach. And if I had time, I would go through everything what he teaches, but I don't, because it's the next five chapters, up until the Passover, to the Good Friday. But I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to tell you that Jesus teaches and give you some of the highlights. All the parables that we have after this are about Jesus showing us what the kingdom of God looks like. We have the parable of the two sons, which shows us how important it is to actually do what God has asked us to do. Then we have the parables of the tenants that speaks about against the scribes and Pharisees and priests of the time. Then we have the parable of the wedding banquet that shows again a picture of what the kingdom of God is to be like. Again, people are asking him questions. Chapter 22, they ask him, should we pay taxes to Rome? And Jesus gives a very unique answer here. He says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. Now, I believe that it's very important to understand here that I think that when he says that, Jesus is talking about how important it is that God has everything. The Jewish community would have understood, well, God is everything. God has everything. God owns everything. And I only get things because God's good graces. So when I give to God what is God's, I give God everything. And so therefore Rome deserves nothing. Again, we see Jesus making comments about against Rome, which is a problem for Rome. The Sadducees then come to him and ask him a question. What about resurrection? Again, Jesus says, you're missing the point. The point is not the resurrection. Then the priests and the lawyer ask him a question. What is the greatest commandment? Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Many times we forget that these passages are happening in the teaching time between Palm Sunday and Good Friday. We forget that this is the last opportunities that Jesus has to speak to the people before the crucifixion. Chapter 23, Jesus speaks directly to the scribes and Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you neglect the things of God. You neglect justice, mercy, faithfulness, love. And then we also see in chapter 25 the picture of the final judgment. What does it look like? It says here that the people will be gathered, all the people of the earth will be gathered in front of, and they will be separated to sheep and goats. And he will say to one, it says, come, you who are blessed, for those whose things have been prepared for you. For I was hungry, and you fed me. Thirsty, you gave me the drink. I was a stranger, I was naked, I was sick, I was in prison, and you helped me. And the people will say, when did we see you that way? And Jesus replies, what you've done for the least of these, you've done for me.
Amen.
That's here. That's here. That's chapter 25. Chapter 26 is the Passover. This is the last things that Jesus has said to us before the crucifixion. The last teaching that we have. It also says in that part that begone, leave from me those who did not give me food, give me drink, clothe me, visit me, take care of my needs. And the people will reply, when did we see you that way? Jesus says, when you did not do this for the least of these, you did not do it for me.
That's right.
What we do matters to Jesus.
Amen, that's right.
How we take care of the people around us matters to Jesus. So, back to the question. Who do they think Jesus was? And maybe we should change that question to who do we think Jesus is? Do we think that Jesus is a king, a prophet, a healer, a teacher, son of God, savior of the world? Do we put expectations upon Jesus that are unrealistic? Now, I'm not saying unrealistic like running a race in a super fast time, which I do not run. I ran yesterday in a 5K. It was my first one, and I did not run very fast. I finished. That's a realistic expectation for me, is finishing. But do we put unrealistic expectations upon Jesus? On who Jesus was? Now, that's more of a rhetorical question for us to contemplate this week as we go from here, to think about these events that happen from Palm Sunday to Good Friday. Next week, we're going to talk about crucifixion and resurrection. Yeah, that's for next week. But this week, I want us to focus on what Jesus is telling us in these last few chapters. Do we place things on Jesus that shouldn't be there? The people had expectations, and we see that in the story, that they expected these things to happen. They expect Jesus to be a king, to come and reign over Jerusalem and over all of Israel, to kick out Rome, to establish God's kingdom back in Jerusalem. We expected Jesus to come and heal all the sick and the needy. Now, he healed people. That's true. I'm not saying he can't. But maybe they put so much expectation on him that that's what they thought he was. Just a healer. Or a teacher. Or a prophet. We see how fickle the people are in the story here, because on Palm Sunday, as they came in waving their palms and laying them down, they were saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Very shortly later that week, the crowd was shouting something very different. "Crucify him. Crucify him." The people were easily manipulated because their expectations were not met. The political and religious leaders had influenced the crowd to say, "Look, he's not doing what you want him to do. He is not who he said he was. If he was, these things would have happened." How easy is it to be manipulated by that? We have an expectation of something to happen and it doesn't happen. Then it makes us mad. Makes us upset. The people were upset that these things did not happen. Palm Sunday is about the time up into the crucifixion. So Easter, we have the crucifixion and the death and resurrection. Christmas, we have the birth. If those two things are so monumental in the life of Christians, it's true. Then Palm Sunday should be also, because it represents the teachings that Jesus has given us.
Amen.
The words that we are to use as instructions for our lives. How we are to live. The words of Jesus here tell us how we are to follow him. It tells us how important what we do matters to Jesus. So this week, as we go out from here, I want us to do something. I want us to read chapter 21 through 25. Kind of giving you a homework assignment. It's up to you if you want to do it. There will be no grade. But I think it will be helpful for us to read this passages to hear what Jesus is telling us, because it is truly the last time that Jesus speaks to us before the crucifixion. It's these chapters here that should give us a sign that says this is important words that God has for us, and I should listen. So let us remember that. But remember that the people did not understand who Jesus was. Not just the people. Some of Jesus' closest people, disciples, didn't understand. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. The others were scared for their lives and hid. They did not understand who Jesus was. Now, I'm not saying I'm better than Peter and the others. I would probably be running and scared too. But now we don't have to.
That's right.
Because we live after Easter. But it doesn't mean these words are not as important as they were. Because they give us instructions on how to live as a follower of Christ. Let us pray. God, we come to you asking you to continue to speak to us. Help us remember what Palm Sunday was. There's a time where you showed the people who you truly were, and yet they did not understand. Let us not make that mistake that the people did. Let us understand who you are, who you were, who you are now, and who you will be in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. Help us to remember the good news days that you have tried to bring to us, the change that you want in our lives as followers of Christ. How we are no longer our old selves, but we are new in Christ. We want that. Please help us to remember those things this day. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.